workers. You know, he uses the same language for them he'll use for Epaphroditus. I mean, they're godly, strong women, but they cannot get along. They violently disagree with each other, and in fact, I think they probably find each other disagreeable. So what I need you to do, ladies, is give each other your maddest, most frustrated look. So just gonna, while you're sitting there, just going to turn around like, ugh. All right. All right. Very good. So you get the point. Two godly women who can't get along. All right, give me five. Nice job. You can go sit down. All right. Okay. So here we are. So go ahead. This is Paul's advice then to the church. This is Paul's teaching on what to do when there's two people in your church, godly, mature people in your church, who can't get along. Here we go. We're looking at the church in Philippi, of course, just to remind ourselves where we are and what we're doing. And so Philippi, of course, is the arrow to your right, and Rome is the arrow to your left. And as we said earlier in the series, this church is under incredible pressure. Pressure to have Rome and have Caesar, in particular, be their first allegiance. But instead, what this church would do is have their first allegiance be Jesus. And we said, what was happening in the church of Philippi is they're taking a beating. I mean, literally, when Paul was in Philippi, because he proclaimed Jesus as Lord rather than Caesar, he literally took a beating with rods for the gospel and was put in prison. And Paul says in chapter 1, verses 27, and then again in verse 30, that you guys are suffering similar things. So this church is taking a beating. It's getting squeezed. It's under a lot of pressure from the outside. And you know, and I know, that when churches, when family units, when people are under a lot of pressure and getting squeezed, sometimes conflicts get worse, don't they? Sometimes we start looking for people to blame. When the family is under incredible financial pressure and is getting squeezed, sometimes things can just come apart. When the team is losing and losing and losing and losing, sometimes there's talk of a mutiny, isn't there? I mean, things come apart. People start looking for people to blame. When the church is under pressure, sometimes people start looking for someone to blame. So the church here is under pressure, and these women, I mean, that's not helping them get along. So this is Paul's advice to them. Therefore, my brothers, now Paul didn't know about political correctness. So, I mean, that's a little after his time. So when he writes brothers, and the church would read this, they would hear siblings. They would sum up men and women in this one word, brothers. They would say, they would think family members, brothers and sisters. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. He says to Yodia, who I imagine is sitting in the back on one side, and Syntyche, who I imagine is sitting in the front on the other side, and to everyone else, what you need to do when you're under pressure and when you can't get along is you need to stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord. Now, when you and I hear this, what we often think is, I'm under pressure to conform at work, and I'm under pressure to conform at school, and I'm under pressure, and what I need to do is stand firm by myself, or stand alone. If that's what it takes, I need to stand alone for God. That's how you and I often hear this. But I think if you look at the context of Philippians, I think what you'll find is, if you're standing alone, either you're doing it wrong or the church is doing it wrong. He's writing, therefore, my brothers, plural. He's writing this to a church saying, church, you need to stand together. Church, Yodia is on one side and Syntyche is on the other side, and you're getting pulled apart. And what you need to do, instead of getting pulled apart, is you need to stand firm together, even when you're under pressure, even when it's difficult, stand firm together in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus owns you both. Because Jesus is your Lord, because Jesus is your Savior, hold together. Hold together. Now, the problem is that you and I both know what looks easier in the short term is going ahead and going different ways. For Yodia to go her way, and for Syntyche to go her way. To not have to deal with the stuff we'd have to deal with for us to be united. You know what I'm talking about here? I mean, you've ever experienced in this in your marriage? Like, it's just easier for him to have the downstairs and her to have the upstairs, and then for them just not to have to deal with their stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, it's easier for him to have his ministry and her to have her ministry and them just not to have to deal with their stuff, or her to go this way and her to go that way and them just not to have to deal with it. That's just easier in the short term. So why would we work at standing firm together when we're being pulled apart? Why would we work at that? Well, because we are in the Lord together. Because you are in Christ and I am in Christ. And because you are in Christ and I am in Christ, that stand firm thus in the Lord. You could underline "in the Lord" and you'd be getting it right, and draw a line to brothers. Because after all, we are family in Christ eternally. Why do you work at unity with people that you really disagree with? Because after all, Jesus is Lord. Because after all, if I'm in Christ and you're in Christ, you're my sister and you're my brother. I was studying with some people this week, and one of them was saying, it's so important that when you look at people that you really disagree with, I mean, they think they're right and you think you're right, it's so important that you think not of them as an enemy, not of them as a critic, not of them as a rival, not of them as, but think of them as a brother or sister in Christ. When you look at them, what do you see? Okay, so let's just call a timeout and let's make it real. If you're Yodia, then who is your Syntyche? Who is it that you don't just disagree with, you find disagreeable? If you're a Syntyche, then who is your Yodia? Who is it that is in Christ and you're in Christ, and Jesus is her Lord and Jesus is your Lord, Jesus is her Savior, Jesus is your Savior? Who is it that is your brother or sister in Christ that you just can't get along with? The Apostle Paul says, you must stand firm together, even when you're under pressure, even when you're getting crushed, even when you're getting torn apart. You must stand firm together because, after all, you are eternally family in Christ. So stand firm first because we are eternally family. Now let's talk about how, okay? Because it's one thing to talk about how we should all get along and how we should think of each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's another thing to actually do it, right? When people just won't move towards each other, when people just won't compromise, when people just won't think outside their system of thinking, when they can only see I'm right and they're wrong, how? How? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul is going to work on now. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche. Notice the Apostle Paul is not taking sides. I mean, he uses the word entreat twice. He uses the word I twice. It's like, you know, I know who I'm dealing with, and I'm just going to use language very strategically right now. And I'm not going to list one name first, and you know, or and then have the entreat closer to one or closer to the other. It's I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche. Both of you agree in the Lord. What he's entreating them to do is to agree. Now, one of the other ways you can translate this word to agree, because this is a good translation, one of the other ways you could translate it that I think is maybe even more helpful when you look at the big context of the entire book is how the New King James translates it, or the Old American Standard translates it, or the newest version of the NIV translates it, and that's be of the same mind. You see, that same mind, or that word mind, is the same word he uses in chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles open, just flip back with me to chapter 1, verse 27, where he writes, only let your manner of life... I did that too fast. Remember this letter is not meant to be preached in 37 weeks when it's originally written. When it's originally written, it's meant for Epaphroditus probably to stand up and have the congregation gathered, maybe beside a river, maybe at the synagogue, maybe he's going to go house to house, you know, but the congregation would be gathered. And Epaphroditus is going to read the whole thing from start to finish. So what the Apostle Paul, he knows this when he's writing the letter. So he knows Euodia is going to be on her side, and Syntyche is going to be on her side, and they're going to be mad at each other. And they're not going to be looking at each other. And it's going to be kind of like this thing where maybe one side of the church tends towards Euodia, and the other side of the church tends towards Syntyche. And so this is what Paul writes into this situation. Knowing it's there long before he addresses it, this is what he writes. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Listen, this is not worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is not what Jesus died to produce. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear that you are, ready for this? Standing firm. Does that sound familiar? That's what we just read, right? How they need to stand firm together in the Lord. That you are standing firm in one spirit with one what? Mind. Somebody's got to say it real loud. Mind, with one mind. So he tells him, be of the same mind, have this mind. Well, what mind is it? Flip over with me to chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul is again, I mean, just remember, she's sitting on her side, she's sitting on her side, he knows this. If there is any encouragement in Christ, is there any comfort and love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, verse 2, by being of the same mind. Who's got it? Mind. By being of the same mind. Having the same love, Euodia. Being in full accord, Syntyche. And of one mind, Euodia and Syntyche. You guys need to get along. No, he's talking about this just in general terms before he gets down to brass tacks in chapter 4. So which mind is he talking about? Well, he'll tell you. Down there in verse 5, but first he says in verse 3, do nothing from rivalry, Euodia, or conceit, Euodia, but in humility, you might underline that word, humility, count others more significant than yourselves. See, this is what Yodi isn't getting right now. She's not getting that she's doing things out of rivalry. She's doing things out of conceit. There's no unity in the church because one person has to have their side and the other person has to have their side. And Syntyche needs to remember verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Because after all, here's how you be of one mind. Or here's how you agree in the Lord. Verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, there's that word again, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. And we could go on. So I entreat Yodia. And I entreat Syntyche to be of the same mind. And which mind is that? How do you agree in the Lord? Well, you think like Jesus, who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but took on the form of a servant, humbling himself to death, even death on a cross, because he has the mind that the Apostle Paul is writing about. He's not Jesus, didn't do things out of rivalry or conceit, but Jesus, in humility, counted others more significant than himself. Jesus didn't just look to his own interests, but he also looked to the interest of others. So how is it that we get along? How is it that we can agree with each other? We can agree with each other only if we agree to think like Jesus together. This, of course, is what we've been saying throughout the whole series. We talked about how Philippians is a book about unity, and Paul can use these words for unity. I mean, we've seen be of one mind, be of one spirit, be of one this, be of one that. We've also heard stand firm in the Lord. It's about unity. Now, how do you get that unity? Through humility. You saw that word used twice there in chapter 2, but also by thinking like Jesus, which is what we have here. Unity and thinking like Jesus would be the same thing. And when we taught on that, we talked about making yourself low, putting other people's interests ahead of your own. So how is it that we come to unity? Well, we agree to think like Jesus. So, why do we stand firm together? We stand firm together because we are eternally family. How do we stand firm together? Well, number one, we agree that we need to think like Jesus. That's the second point. And then the third point we'll find here in verse 3. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women. So here's the thing. Paul knows that he's going to write this letter and talk about how Jesus loved them with laying down his life, dying on the cross, love. He knows that he's going to entreat them to be unified with each other, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work because they're unwilling or unable to resolve their differences. And so he'll invoke the help of this true companion. And, you know, it's funny, scholarship gets all worked up about issues like this, and you have one person write this thesis that says it's Epaphroditus, and another person write this thesis that says it's Dr. Luke. Or you have another person write and say, oh, no, it's got to be Timothy. Or, you know, we could argue all day long about who it is, and I don't think it matters who it is. What matters is they can't get along and they need a third party, the true companion, to come in and help them get along. Help them think like Jesus. The only way for them to agree in the Lord, or the only one for them to be of one mind in the Lord, is from outside help. I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers. I mean, these are godly, mature, strong women, but they just can't get along. Paul's saying, help them remember their past. Help them remember who they were. Help them remember who they are. Help them remember how they've labored in the gospel with me. And help them remember where they're going. Help them remember their eternity together, whose names are in the book of life. I mean, they're going to spend eternity together in heaven. Help them remember these things so that they can agree in the Lord and get along for the sake of the gospel. So we stand firm together because we are eternally family, by thinking like Jesus, and second, by helping each other. So when I ask, if you are Yodia, then who is Syndicate? And if you really, nobody comes to mind, then what you may be is the true companion who could help these women get along or help these brothers get along. You may be called to a role of peacemaking. And by that I don't mean Cold War making instead of heavy fire. I mean really helping people make true and lasting peace together. Help these women get along. Help these brothers get along. It may be that instead of fanning the flames with gossip, you extinguish with love. But stand firm together. One commentator, I think, just kind of put the whole pile together best like this. As he said, the citizens of Rome, of the Roman colony of Philippi, who have their names recorded in a civic register of citizens. So Rome is here, obviously. Philippi is here. The people in Philippi that are Roman citizens would have their names in a book, kind of like the Book of Life is where he's going. Know that they have a duty to live in harmony and peace with one another. Because at the end of the day, what they would say is, we have differences, but after all, we are all Romans. After all, they would say, Caesar is Lord. After all, we fight on the same team. In the same way, the citizens of the colony of heaven, that's the church, that is in the Roman colony of Philippi, who have their names written in the book of life in heaven, are called by their Lord because, after all, Jesus is Lord, to live in peace with one another. Because, after all, we're on the same team. Because, after all, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is my Lord. After all, we are eternally family. After all, we must be of one mind and agree in the Lord. So stand firm together. I think this, really, I mean, I think this is the kind of church this is. I think this is the kind of church we want to continue to be, that when we get pulled apart, when we feel the pressure of stretching because of my self-interest or your self-interest or her self-interest or his self-interest, and when we're under pressure and we're getting pulled apart, I think we want to be the kind of people that remember, after all, Jesus is Lord, so we must stand firm together. I think that's who we are. I think that's who we want to continue to become. Stand firm together. When we're under pressure, whether it's from the outside or from the inside, because after all, we are all brothers. We are all sisters. We are all family in the Lord. When you see them, Yodia, when you see Syntyche, remember she's your sister. Brother, when you'd be tempted to do things out of rivalry and conceit, remember how Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, take him on the form of a servant. Remember the gospel and live at peace. as we stand firm together. The way to do this is by thinking like Jesus. As we said, remember the gospel. Remember how Jesus came. Remember how he died. Remember how he rose. And live at peace with one another. So we said, stand firm together by remembering that we are eternally family. By thinking like Jesus, but not living for our own interests or living out of conceit or living out of rivalry, but living out of sacrificial love. Thinking like Jesus. And then helping each other live at peace with one another. Look, whatever you take from this, whatever you remember this morning, when you're tempted to go separate ways or to live in anger with a fellow brother or sister in Christ, stand firm together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Lord and Savior. Lord, I ask you to help us live in unity together because you are the Lord and Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.